would like to share a little bit today with you all. Now, some of us, you might have encountered people who are visually impaired before, or some of us, you've never. From darkness to light, I mean, what is blindness in the first place? We kind of know about it, but do we really know? So to understand from darkness to light, we perhaps can stop a little bit to understand what is darkness? What is blindness in the first place? Now, here's what it is. Sometimes when we think about a particular situation in life or condition in life, like blindness, actually, it's much, much more than the label itself. There's a lot more stories behind it. Same way with many other conditions in life. Well, for example, most of the people in the audience today, we're Chinese, right? Okay, yeah, just checking. Yeah. And first generation, yeah? Second generation? Third generation? Maybe, yeah? So, just think about that, right? This label. Okay, I'm a first generation, second, third generation. What does that mean, anyway? It's just a name, right? It's just a label. But we, who in that particular category, we know how that's like, right? It's experience. It's experience that really defines what it is. So just a side note about compassion. Eh? I think when we befriend somebody, instead of just thinking on a very high level, a label, or you're Chinese or you're Caucasian or you're first generation, whatever, or you're visually impaired. I mean, that's just a label. I think it would be very, very helpful we go deeper to understand or try to understand what that experience is like. Yeah, that's compassion. I remember I'm trained as a counselor, marriage and family therapist, and one of my professors shared with us one day, and he said, like, two years of training, intensive training, but he says, if you have forgotten most things, I want you to remember one thing, that is to have compassion, to really understand, to make you understand. You understand, what other people try to understand, what others are going through. Yeah, and I'm sure if we are in a particular situation in life, especially a difficult one, it's awfully lonely, actually. We'd love to be able to be make you understood by other people. So blindness, what is blindness? Do you see the first picture? Of a handsome young man, like 15 years old? 14, yeah? Okay, I gather you got the picture, good. So that's me. That guy up there, do you see him looking visually impaired? Yes? No? No. Yeah, because young Peter, he was partially sighted. Yeah, when I was age 14, I found that I had glaucoma, which is very rare. for a young person. And I was in Hong Kong at that time. And my vision dropped to about 2-3%. But if you, I guess that if you visually, if you look at that this kind of condition, this person looks as if the person eyesight is still intact, but I mean, still look of it. But in fact, I had only 2-3% of vision. But what is blindness? What is darkness? What's that experience like? Well, it's like, I used to have friends that I played soccer, football with, but they no longer call you anymore. It's like friends or your classmates going to the bookstore to pick up books or library to pick up books, and you hold the books and you cannot read it. Even if it's exam time tomorrow. It's like in a place like this, when other people can see the screen or see the hymn notes and sing the song, and you can't. It's like when you're walking down the busy street of Hong Kong with your cane, and people wanting to ignore you, or if they see you, they're so afraid of being touched by the cane because they felt like they would be cursed. And they tell you so. And when your cane approaches their legs, they do skip rope on you. It's like in a party with a lot of people having fun, and people are very close to you, so to speak, but they're so far away. It's like sometimes this often happens in church, by the way. Friends in church, they would come up to me and say, "Guess who I am?" You know, that's very, very difficult. Tommy, is that right, Tommy? Depending who, huh? But there are so many voices around you, you know, people kind of try to guess who you are. It's very, very difficult. And there's this gal in my church in Seattle, and she would even like change the voice quality to try to trick me. "Guess who I am?" Like that, you know. And every time I would guess that's her. You know why? Because she's the only one who would do anything like that. It's like thinking that, you know, who? No girls would like you. Who would like a blind man like that? And yet you're still always thinking about girls in your head. It's like the blue sky, the rainbow disappearing from your eyes, and you can't do anything about it. In short, one word can describe that experience. Loser. You are one big loser. That's how you feel, right? It's about loss, actually. It's about grieving the loss and not being able to grieve that loss. That's darkness. That's blindness. You know, in life, we have many, many kinds of loss. Not just blindness. And that leads to darkness, doesn't it? Recently, I was talking to some clinicians, and we were saying that, Getting married is a loss. Can you imagine that? Loss of singlehood, right? Some people feel trapped in marriage. Oh, well, I try to work with them so that they don't feel that way as a clinician. What else are we losing? Okay, as a Chinese Canadian in North America here, when we are here, as opposed to in China, Hong Kong, Taiwan, and other places, have we lost something? For sure, we have lost. How about relationship? That's a loss too. So, you know, in this kind of loss that we experience, it's not just a label, is it? Do other people understand? No. But we do. And when we are hit with that loss, that is, we are so helpless about it, well, I guess we know how bad that feels. It's terrible. That's darkness. Darkness starts to set in. Darkness is not just about loss, by the way. It's also about, you know, when you get to a stage where you feel lost and you can't do anything about it, how do we sit with that? How do we sit with that? One common reaction, and I know I definitely was like that, was that, whatever, I'm just going to do what I want. Now, I'm saying it very nicely this morning because this is a church, right? But in reality, there should be some four-letter word preceding that. You know what I mean? Yeah, X with that. You know what I mean? It's like that. I'm going to do what I want. I mean, God treats me that way. The world treats me that way. Why do I even give any riff about it? I'm gonna do what I want. In Cantonese, that's yam sing. Well, that's kind of sometimes how we react. That's exactly how I reacted to that situation. Well, I did many things. But one of the things I did was I hang around with gangs. I guess we could call that triad group in Hong Kong. Yeah, stealing and you know, vandalizing and, you know, causing lots of trouble. I'm going to do what I want. And I call that eye disease, right? I, as in me, I. That's the eye disease. Because why do we care about other things? It's so hurtful anyway. So I'm going to cause problems to other people. Why not? So there are lots of things happened in when I was hanging out with gangs, but I'll tell you the last thing that happened in that period of time. So we had a group of people. I wasn't present in this particular encounter. My sister and my brother, who was slightly older than me, and myself, we all participated in this in the group. But they were there in this incident. So essentially, there's two teenage girls, probably high school in Hong Kong. And I talked to my sister right before I came and kind of find out a bit more about this incident. but she can't exactly remember what was the cause of it. But for some reason, we didn't like these two girls. Maybe the way they look, the way they dressed, something that they said. But at the end, basically, the group kidnapped them, these two girls, and put them in an abandoned massage place in Tsim Sha Tsui, Hong Kong, and beat them up. I think they stayed there for a couple of days, maybe 3 days or something. And at the end, this is kind of dramatic. What happens is they kind of like escaped through the window in the toilet, right? And when the gang found out about that, they're already gone. And so my sister is somebody, you know, who kind of leading the group, and she's a person who really live her words, that kind of person, right? So she left because they needed to run away, and then she remembered there was somebody, a part of the gang, who's a young gal, who's still hanging behind because she was afraid to climb down from the window. So she, my sister, went back there to save her. At that time, the policeman came, and my sister and this young girl was arrested. And so we all got into trouble, and eventually my sister and my brother there was a deal there. They had to leave Hong Kong, to leave this group of people, and that's what they did. They went to UK, Scotland, to study. What happened afterwards? I was left in Hong Kong, and the sad thing was that since I was visually impaired, even the gangs didn't want me. Even the gangs didn't want me. What a loss. A footnote here. That young gal, my sister, just told me that it was very, very disappointing at the end, because when asked about this incident, this girl afterwards didn't even thank my sister. She said that, oh, you know, my sister just came back for a show or something like that. Well, I guess that's gangster's life just right there. It's blindness, darkness. Darkness, it's not just a label, right? It's about feeling this, whatever, I'm going to just do what I want to do. Friends and brothers and sisters, isn't it sometimes where we are, right? When something happened to you in life and you don't seem to be able to do anything about it, you feel frustrated, and you kind of get into this state that I don't need any help. I'm just going to do what I want. And by the way, we often have good excuse about that anyway. Well, I didn't choose that situation. It just happened to me and it's unfair. And I have a right to rebel. I have a right to do what I want to do. So there. God, you cannot even blame me for that. Darkness. What is darkness? Darkness is not just a label. Darkness is not just a matter of rebelling and doing what I want. That's the eye disease. At some point, even doing what you want to do, what the I want to do, it feels terrible. Believe me. Maybe you're in it, you're happy in it. When you try to do whatever you think you want to do, and then it feels, still feels terrible. It feels yucky. It feels dark. It feels lonely. Then what do? Well, unfortunately, I moved on to the next stage. I gave up. Like in psychology, there's this terrible experiment, right? It's an experiment about helplessness. Yeah. So they put this dog, a wild dog, in a cage. So in the beginning, this dog is like banging his head against the iron bars and getting hurt and all bruised and keep doing that, keep doing that. And after a while, you know what happened? Well, that dog just gives up, to lie on the floor and helplessly waiting. That's how I felt. I woke up in the morning and nothing. There's no hope. Nothing there for me. Darkness. Nothing to look for. I had a hard time waking up, going to work. Terrible. Alcohol, drugs, and thinking about how to end my life, or waiting to end my life. That's giving up. That's giving up. That's darkness. So, as you see, blindness, it's darkness. It's not just a label. It involves a lot more than that, and it's terrible. I certainly hope that you don't need to feel anything like that. You have not felt anything like that. But it's only a matter of degree, isn't it? But today I'm here to share with you all that there is a good news. That God is light, and in Him there is no darkness. That is totally available to each one of us. Are we ready to receive that light that is waiting for us? God loves is abandoned. His light is abandoned. It is available for us. How was that available for me? Well, I pretty much just wanted to do what I wanted to do, and grouchy all the time, and depressed all the time, gave all the time, took drugs and all that. By the way, when I was drinking, I ended up drinking in the bathroom, in the toilet, because it's a lot more convenient to throw up and then drink again. Darkness. Well, God has not forsaken me at all. Not God kept inviting me, but I wanted to do my own thing. I wanted to drink. I wanted to numb myself. So there. Well, what can God do to us? I mean, He's not going to force us. So I basically fell deeper and deeper and deeper into the problem, into darkness, and it's scary. It's really scary. Until a point that at that time I was married. I got married when I was 22 years old. At that time I was married, and I was the lowest point. You know, I was at the lowest point of my life, and I just said to my wife, Heidi. I said, Heidi, I don't think I can live anymore. I'm gonna die, and I have a plan. And I described to Heidi exactly how I was going to do it. By the way, you know, that's torture, emotional torture to my wife. Can you imagine that? That your loved one tells you exactly how he or she is going to commit suicide, and you don't know when exactly it's going to blow up. That's torture. I didn't know that. So self-centered, isn't it? Well, ending up, my wife, Heidi, before I was successful in killing myself, I tried. She did it first. And she did it exactly the way I described it. So that day, I went home. It was afternoon. I thought she was throwing things in her room, kind of angry. But after 10 minutes, I went into the room, I found that she was actually struggling on the floor, about to die. And I took her to the hospital emergency, and I stayed in the hospital for 3 days, chain smoking, thinking. You know, a lot of Christians, God has approached me and told me about, Peter, you are going down a dark path. Don't you see? No, I didn't. Spiritual blindness is worse, much worse than physical blindness. And they say, don't you see that you're a sinner? And I was so angry with them. Because, you know, I chose my blindness. Is that what you're trying to say? And you're trying to blame me now for all these? That's how I thought. That's what I thought. Well, at this moment, when Heidi is about to die, I understood what sin means. Here is somebody whom I try to love. Quote, try, because I was not even capable of loving myself. I really didn't know how to love another person. But I tried. And I pretty much caused her to die. If I was not a sinner, I don't know who would be. So I recognized that at that point. Now, by the way, at that time, I didn't accept Christ yet. It was a few years later that my boss led me to Christ. But this incident was a very pivotal incident in my life because it literally shook me up, woke me up. Now, isn't it interesting, huh? God used something, like, I don't know what God is doing in your life, what God has done in your life. But God has a tailor-made plan for each one of us. What we need. Now, how we respond to it, it's up to you and I. But God loves each one of us so much. He has a tailored plan for each one of us to save us. And this was what happened to me. Through this incident, I suddenly woke up. God is light. And when there is light, there is no darkness. God pulled me out of this dark pit. And he really, really did a very loving and amazing jobs. And I want to explain to you how this actually worked out. So here it is, I was waking up spiritually, and I learned a number of things, okay? Very basic things. Number one, I learned, you know what? When we are in darkness, when we've experienced a lot of loss in our lives, there's a lot of distortion. A lot of the, you know what is distortion? Distortion, things are not like that. But you have, your weird mind is cheating you, is telling you lies that it's something else. That's distortion. There's a lot of distortion. When things happen to us, you know, oftentimes we think that we are a victim. I thought I was a victim. But you know what? That's so not true. Because, yeah, life circumstance take us to certain places. Seemingly we don't have a lot of control over that. But we cannot choose circumstance, but we can choose how we react to it. The fact that I became blind doesn't mean that I have to be rebellious, that I had to beat up those two girls, right? That's my doing. When we are feeling not happy for whatever reasons, doesn't mean that we have to yell at our family members. That's not an excuse. We are responsible for how we react to circumstance and how we relate to other people. That's a very simple truth that I realized that I had not realized because I had the eye disease. Very, very self-centered. And unfortunately, that's how we usually are. That's darkness. And what God is light, and in Him, there's no darkness. God is inviting us to come out of that eye disease, that darkness, to see Him, to see the light, to see His love that's so available within us. We don't need to sit in that bitterness and victimization. You know, darkness is terrible. But the good news is that we don't need to stay there. Do you know that depression is a choice? Sometimes, I don't know, this is weird, right? So when we are feeling bad and things like that, I picture it like this. Sometimes it almost feels like a tub of dirty water, right? And we just soak in it. And when people are trying to help us, and we say, "Don't worry, I like it. I like being in this dark water. It really feels like that. Just leave me alone." But inside, we're actually crying out for help. But we say, "No, I just want to stay in here." You know what? We have a choice of stepping out of this muddy water. We have a choice. By God's grace, we can come out of darkness because God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. This power is available to each one of us, however serious or not serious your darkness is in your life. At least you can say this. If you are not so ready to accept that happiness is your choice, depression is your choice, at least you can say this. You can start thinking that you can at least reach out for help. Right? Instead of staying in darkness, they said, to refuse help. Help is very, very available. I'm sure, in this church, in many places, reach out for help if you cannot help yourself. Come out of that darkness, because God is light. And remember, you are not the only victim in the world, okay? Sometimes we feel like that. You know, people around you, I felt like that. You know, they kind of owe me or something at that time. Right? I felt like that. You know, people kind of like discriminate you or bad to you, or they're kind of like trying to ignore you and things like that. We kind of, that's victimization thinking, right? But you know what? What I found is that people are not doing that to you mostly. They're just busy. They don't even have time to bother to be mean to you. Right? Let's be self-centered. I mean, the world just goes on like that. Come out. Come out of that darkness. Right? And for some of us, we trap ourselves in, what do? Right? And nowadays, it's so easy for us to get on the internet, yeah? Right? And stay inside the room and not contact other people. Isn't that true? That's a big temptation. Oh, let's play some, you know, kind of games and kind of stay with games and things like that. Right? And I found out the term for describing this condition, yeah? It's called, you guys know the word couch potatoes? Yeah? Couch potatoes, like watching TVs all the time, right? So that's out of fashion, that term. Because who watch TV these days? So we do internet, we do Facebook, right? So what's the equivalent to a couch potato these days? Mouse potatoes. Are you a mouse potatoes? That's not even cute. What do we do being a mouse potato? We surf the net. We play games. We get exciting. We don't need to face life problems doing that. It kills time. It gets us our mind off many other things. We look at pornography. Only one click away. Very easy for us to hide in this darkness. Recently, I've been talking to people who do a Twitter and has been following Lao Dawa and Lam Bo Yi. And it's very, very addicting. You know, she goes, she checks now, you know, every hour. And then, you know, she would hear Lam Bo Yi recently. He was saying something like, if thinking about you is a sickness, I'm very, very sick now. Can you believe that? That's what Lam Bo Yi said, right? To millions, thousands and thousands of people on the internet, right? And you know, when girls see that, what do you think? It's for me. Right? Amen? That's how you feel. Okay? That's how she felt. And then she would respond. And then, you know, the agent of Lam Bo Yi would actually be responding to that email. And she, oh, Lam Bo Yi, you bothered to me. Oh, you can't sleep anymore. Right? That's very, very, very elusive, isn't it? Well, we say there, because even the darkness pool of top of water feels good. So we stay there. But by the name of Christ and His blood that cleanses us, we gotta come out of this. We gotta come out of this darkness for sure. We have a choice to respond to God. We really do. God is light. In Him there is no darkness. However dark we feel inside. By the way, brothers and sisters and friends, I don't know about you. Many of us are living a double life. Do you know what I mean? When you come, we come to church, we come to social gathering, we look good outside. But where are you inside right now? You don't even want other people to know. Maybe you don't even want to know sometimes. God is telling us that He is light. And in Him, there is no darkness, and that is available to you today. Why are you still holding on to this piece of darkness inside yourself? Come to Him. Seriously, come to Him. Number two, besides experiencing this healing of going to the light to see that we no longer see ourselves as a victim and really making a choice to come to the light, come to the joy of life. Besides that healing of coming to the light, another thing, when we come to the light, do you know what happens? What happens is that when there's the light, you start to, without the distortions, you start to see life as it is, and you start to see what? You start to appreciate life a lot more. You start to appreciate people around you a lot more. It's really weird, because for the longest time of life, I thought, you know, everybody hate me, I didn't, you know, nobody loved me and things like that. Well, that was just so wrong, because my wife stayed with me for a long time. Even though I was a jerk, I didn't appreciate that. My brother, right? He literally raised me up, and he stayed up late in the evening to read to me. I didn't appreciate that. If you look at this next picture of this sister, is a Catholic sister. Her name is Sister Moira. She loved me very much, even though my mother passed away when I was 10 years old. She encouraged me. She was a missionary in China, by the way. That really helped me, you know, encourage me to even today become a missionary. But I didn't appreciate that at that time. Yeah, a lot of people that are around us, that love us, but do we even appreciate that? When we're in darkness, we are very, very blind to that. Our family members, our loved ones, they can be loved. But sometimes they can say harsh words, but they do love you, right? Christian friends. You know, Christians are very annoying people. Christians are. I can testify for it. I hated them. You know what? Because they keep calling you. They keep calling you to invite you. And then you keep saying, no, I'm not coming. They still call you. And then you started to get mad at them. And they say, but I love you. Very annoying people. But you know what? If you have friends like that today, they have invited you to be here. Don't be mad at them. They don't gain anything for you to come here, right? By the God of love, they want to love you, share that love with you, that's all. But when we're in darkness, we don't see all these things. But God is light. In Him, there's no darkness. And through Him, through His light, we can start to open our spiritual eyes to appreciate. So for brothers and sisters, I will encourage you to start appreciating your pastors here in this church even. They need so much appreciation. Appreciate each other. When there is light, God's light, we start to see all these, we start to appreciate. But it's even more exciting than that, brothers and sisters and friends. It's more than that. When God is light, when He brings us out from darkness, He has the best in store for each one of us. When we're in darkness, we think that we are useless, we think that, you know, everything is not working. But God is going to tell you that not only will I make you think to work, I want to make it beautiful for you. Because John 10:10 says, Jesus come not to destroy, but to give life and life to the full. Why settle for less? Look at this next picture. I thought I was blind, I couldn't study, but ended up God gave me a chance to go to Cambridge to get my master's degree in computer science. Next picture, I thought I couldn't get work because of my blindness. God's provision is powerful. So this picture, do you see the control panel of Windows? Yeah? Do you see that icon? Wheelchair icon? Accessibility icon? Yes. This is, I think, Windows XP. Yeah, this one. Well, long story short, God led me to Microsoft to be a software engineer and led a team to put that infrastructure platform together and many, many things else to enable people with disability of all kinds to be able to use the computer just like everybody does. I was the person who wanted to kill myself, and God said, don't settle for less. I have much better things in store for you. Live the life in full. And I estimated that 0.1 billion people on this earth have one way or the other benefited from this technology that is sitting in Windows right now. What do you think about that? Somebody who is about to die and commit suicide and turn around like this. Only God can do it. Amen? Next one. As Philip said, I had a chance to go to the prison. Can you imagine a blind guy going into prison to minister to these big gangsters in Seattle, federal prison? I don't even know if they killed me. I don't even know who killed me. But that's okay. I'll be with the Lord. My life is with the Lord. His grace is abundant. And I started a mission organization called Rainbow Missions, like Philip was saying. This is taken in Chongqing. I was actually drawing a rainbow in the street fair. And then Rainbow Missions took me to Sichuan when there was the earthquake. As a blind guy, it was very, very difficult to walk on the broken ground. Very difficult, dangerous. But God said, go. Go, heal the brokenhearted. Next one, this young man is called Jiang Hu. We supported him through school, visually impaired, right? And he had a dream of wanting to use his music to praise God. He's now a Christian. And in September, we have a video made about him to show here in this church and in other places. The many, many, many things that I don't have enough time to talk about. But in a nutshell, Not only is God's light going to be in our life to show us that the distortions are all wrong. Not only is that the love of God, His light, is going to show us to appreciate what is around us, God's light is also inviting us to walk into His abundant life. Why settle for less? In conclusion, I'm going to say this. A very good friend, visually impaired friend of mine, she once said, someone approached her and said, "Oh, what a pity that you have become blind. What a pity. How sad." Well, and she said that, "It's okay. But you know what is really, really sad? That is when you have eyes, but you cannot see. That is darkness. That is blindness. That is spiritual blindness." Let's pray that God's light shines upon our life and casts away the darkness in our life. Let us pray. Let's close our eyes and pray. And I want to invite you to respond to God's light today. Close our eyes. Is anybody here today who has not accepted Christ as your personal Savior and want to receive His light today? You can just raise your hands right now. Now, of course, I cannot see you. Everybody has closed their eyes now, right? It's okay, because it's between you and God alone. Have you been living in a life that is you're just doing your own thing and you're at your wit's end? God's light is here today to invite you to come to Him and let His light shine upon you. If you have that decision, raise your hands right now to God. And I have a second question for the brothers and sisters here. And even including just now, if you've decided to accept Christ, it's for you too, right? Think about this. Even for brothers and sisters, as I said, you know, on the surface, we might look quite okay. But inside, there's still something that we're holding back, that dark place that we know about, that we don't want to let God's light to come in. God knows your situation. If there is somebody like that, you can also raise your hands today to make a commitment, not to me, to the Lord, who is light. And He desires to shine light upon you today. If you want to receive His light into your life, raise your hands to the Lord. Now I'm going to ask once more, because sometimes, however long we've been in church, right, we feel like, oh, okay, this kind of setting, it's only for non-believers, it's not. It's for us to respond. We may not even want to recognize that anymore. But the truth of the matter is, brothers and sisters, why are you struggling with that little dark part inside you, or even very big? Why are you still holding back from God? What is making you hold back from God? I don't know. But God knows. But God is inviting you to receive His light tonight, today, this morning. If you want to respond to God that way, raise your hands right now. To the Lord. Let's continue to close our eyes, and I'm going to pray for you. Dear Lord Jesus, frankly, I don't know who raised their hands. It doesn't matter, actually, for me. But the truth of the matter is that you care. I pray for the people today who have made their mind to accept you as your personal Savior, and also those others who want to come out of that darkness inside and accept you and allow you to come into their lives, to shine your light upon them, because you are light and in you there is no darkness. Lord, thank you for loving us so much and being the light. And Lord, may it be that we all don't have to settle for less, Lord, that we can be the light for this world and bless even more people. I want to pray blessing for this church, MB Church, that this place will become a beacon of lights for this community. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.